Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It is Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern. I hope you are having a good end of your week. And the weekend is here, of course. We got you covered for all the live preseason action on In-Game Live tonight, tomorrow, and even on Sunday. And we've got a ton of preseason action starting tomorrow. But there are a couple of games tonight. And so Davis, with his birthday, sat out a game that was probably the worst one of the NFL preseason. We know he will not tonight. We know Davis will be watching this one tonight. We got the Chiefs at Cardinals. That's our headline tonight. Marquee NFL preseason Friday night matchup. We've got Patrick Mahomes playing in the first half. We, of course, have Kyler Murray, too, so that's a must-watch for sure. Jalen Hurts did not play last night, and Nick Sirianni, their head coach, says that he is, quote, okay after missing the preseason game with stomach issues. In all likelihood, he'll play in the third preseason game coming up next week. How about baseball? White Sox and Rays. This should be maybe a possible American League Championship Series preview. They're going to play this weekend, and we'll see who ends up coming out. And, of course, on Monday, we'll tell you who does. And the NCAA says that college football teams who can't suit up enough players are going to be forced to forfeit this season. So, Davis, the days that we had in 2020 of teams having games rescheduled in both college and pro, I would say barring something extreme, if you can't field a team, you're taking an L. Sort of feels like the way that that's where we're headed.
Does definitely feel that way. So I guess that means we're going to have some Kendall Hinton situations going on in college football. Are we going to have walk-ons coming on? You know, because like Alabama, they've got enough dudes that they have multiple guys wearing the same jersey number. I remember realizing that when I was younger, that like, oh, like Oklahoma actually has so many guys on the team that they have more than 100 guys. So they have guys with like there are 2 17s or whatever. Not going to be a problem for those schools. But like SMU, what happens if their quarterback room catches COVID? Like, are they going to go find like the best flag football team on campus and see if their quarterback can suit up? Because I guess the eligibility restrictions are a little bit different in college, right? Like, I mean, is anyone who is enrolled in the school eligible to play? Like, I don't know. That's a good question. So I have a feeling we're definitely going to have at least one. And just forever, I'm calling games ruined by COVID, the Kendall Hinton game, which I guess is probably not fair to Kendall Hinton, who I'm sure is a great guy who worked very hard to be where he's at, but his name will forever be synonymous to COVID ruined football games for me.
That was definitely the craziest game of the season. There's no question about that. Also, some craziness in Major League Baseball. We have two teams that people thought could be in the World Series struggling in July and even into August. But now it's turned around. The Los Angeles Dodgers have won 7 straight games. They are cruising toward the postseason. It's just a matter of if they win the division or they become the wild card. And the New York Yankees look like they're headed toward the postseason as well. They're playing great baseball since making the trades for Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo. Aaron Boone talked about the 7-game winning streak after the game last night.
They're playing with a lot of confidence, and I think everyone shows up with the mindset of this is about we, this is about us, this is about getting a win, and they know what they're capable of, and I feel like their purpose and their focus and their energy is all poured into winning. You know you're not going to end up winning every day, but I do feel like they're playing with a lot of confidence that we expect to do something special.
And Davis, I think it remains to be seen. Like, I don't think the Yankees are a serious World Series candidate, but just from a narrative point of view and a ratings point of view, it's better to have the Yankees relevant than to have them irrelevant. And whether or not they go far isn't really part of the story, but it would be great, I think, to have them just around at the very least for the postseason, maybe playing a wild card game for the millionth time, it feels like, against Oakland, right? Like, aren't we destined to have Yankees A's playing what, like on a Friday afternoon at 5 p.m.? Like, I feel like we're headed toward that.
I mean, all I care about now at this point is that the Boston Red Sox missed the playoffs because, you know, it looked so bad for us because we both had that take that the Red Sox were really overrated. But, you know, it definitely does look like that's going to be the case because they are playing bad. The Yankees are playing very well. You know, who knows with the Blue Jays? Like, the Blue Jays are not going to make the playoffs at this point, but it would be amazing if the Boston Red Sox chose to add Kyle Schwarber as their big, you know, deadline addition, and then they even get passed by the Blue Jays, who added hitting and pitching. By the way, Corey Dickerson hit a home run the other night. Love to see that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the Red Sox now are not even in danger of just falling behind the Blue Jays, but even the Athletics and the Mariners, right? Like, it's really gone down for them. I've been the Yankees guy on the show the whole time that we've been doing it. And I said, what did I say? I said, Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, if you were going to do your little computer simulations and find the absolute perfect guys to add to the Yankees lineup, those two guys would probably be it. I feel vindicated in that. Now, I bet, is Brian Cash still the GM of the New York Yankees? Cashman. Mm-hmm. Bet he's kicking himself for not kicking the tires on Max Scherzer now, because imagine if they would have added these hitters and added Max Scherzer. Because, I mean, the Yankees could pay whatever, you know, that contract deferral was.
Yeah. And look, on top of it, look, the Red Sox are most likely going to go over their season win total that we thought that they would go under. But I got to tell you, if they tank completely,
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, go under. There was like a 99% chance. It's like at 90 right now. We'll be right back with Jim Sanis. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It's probably a pretty popular weekend for those of you considering drafting your fantasy football teams. I know the end of August, beginning of September, it's go time for those of you. And so as we come down to the wire with preseason games in week two, we're bringing in Jim Sanis to get his picks and get some conceptual thoughts on how you would draft in 2021. Everybody has different ways of doing things. You can follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Sanis, of course. Check him out over at NumberFire. And before we get into this upcoming season, let's get into this upcoming weekend. I know Jim FanDuel has a huge event going on this weekend that you're going to be a part of in Denver, Colorado. So tell us more.
Yeah, they have their World Fantasy Baseball Championship, which is the live daily fantasy baseball final out in Colorado. They have a Rockies-Diamondbacks game tonight, so we get to go to Coors Field, which should be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for that. But then we get the outdoor championship on Saturday as well. They'll be giving out $2 million in prizes, $500,000 to first place. I'll be emceeing that, so... talking around, talking to people, getting their thoughts and feelings, talking about their strategies. Always a fun event to meet some DFS players and pick their brains a bit on why they did what they did for their lineups with a lot of money on the line. Then on Sunday, it's the FanDuel Fan Fest where they're going to be having, I'll be doing a betting panel with Aaron Dolan and Liv Moody, breaking down our thoughts on week one of the NFL season, talking about general NFL betting stuff, but then also a lot of fun activities. That's actually going to be at Empower Field where the Broncos play. So just all around Denver, if you're in the area, swing by and say hi. There's a Chainsmokers concert on Saturday or on Sunday too. So very busy weekend, Craig. So I'm missing out on a lot of fantasy football prep in that time for sure, but for a good reason, I think.
Yeah. And listen, it sounds like a lot of fun for sure. So if you're in the area in Denver, check them out this weekend. Should be a great time. Okay, Jim. So, as we head toward drafts and as we head toward really crunch time for a lot of fantasy football players, everyone has a different strategy. I have one. My co-host Davis Maddock has one. Joe Pizzapia, who appears on the show, has one too. I know it's more of a generic, general question, but you've been at this for a long time playing fantasy football. when you're doing your simulations and when you're preparing over at Number Fire and, of course, the work that you do on FanDuel, how do you approach a fantasy football draft?
Yeah, I know that it's become kind of not in vogue anymore, but I do still try to, if I can, get a workhorse running back early on. You know, I'm trying to, looking at the first half of the first round, I think that that's a good spot to skew towards running backs. The first non-running back I have on my board is Tyreek Hill at number 6, followed by Travis Kelce at 7, but then it does go back to some more running backs once again. So in those first rounds, I know that the fall off at running back is precipitous. And obviously there are risks to taking running backs early on because they can get hurt. Stuff can happen for sure. And the injury rate there can be higher than other positions, but the advantage you get, if I want to win my league, I want upside. I don't care about floor all that much. I mean, floor is fine. I'll take it into consideration at times, but to me, I want ceiling, and I think that the ceiling there for those first-round running backs is super, super high. So I'm not taking like a Nick Chubb or someone like that in the first round. I'm not reaching. I'm not taking a guy who doesn't fit in that bell cow kind of mold, but I do want to try to get that staple, try to get that guy who can have that raw, massive upside in the first round if I can, and then I tend to skew towards the wide receivers after that. So getting like one workhorse back who can kind of carry the team and then skewing towards receiver after that.
Okay, so as we continue on in this conversation, so Jim, you've made it clear, get a workhorse at the top, fill in the rest of your team, wide receivers, maybe even a tight end. It sounds like you're willing to take some chances on the second running back that you'd be fielding a little bit later in the draft. So as you've done your preparation and you're getting ready, who are some of those guys? Who are some of those running backs that you're willing to take a flyer in the 8th, the 9th, the 10th round and beyond?
Yeah, I will say before getting to that, it is worth noting, too, that some of the running backs have been falling because of the discussion around, where running backs should go and stuff like that. So I've been able to get guys like Joe Mixon and Antonio Gibson at the 2-3 turn. So picks like 24, 25 in a 12-person league, I'm very okay with that. So my general inclination is towards wide receivers, guys like Calvin Ridley, Justin Jefferson, et cetera, but if those guys are there, I'm okay. Deviating from my baseline strategy there. As far as the mid-round guys who I do like taking and find myself taking very often, right around that range, you get Trey Sermon and Javonte Williams, a couple of rookie running backs. The reason I want Sermon is because he is tied to an offense that is going to hum. They've got a tremendous offensive line. If Garoppolo plays, he's efficient. If Trey Lance plays, we do see a lot of running backs benefit from running quarterbacks as well. So I think that the situation that Sermon is in is tremendous, and it sounds like he should get work pretty early on in games. So I do like Sermon despite the fact that Raheem Mostert is still a factor in that backfield. As far as Javonte goes, I think early season might be kind of rough because Melvin Gordon is really impressed at camp, and that's definitely brought down my enthusiasm around Javonte Williams. But he's a talented guy. They're not tied to Melvin Gordon beyond this year. We could see him emerge later on this year. So despite the fact that I've moved Javonte Williams down my ranks, I have still got him in recent best ball drafts, despite that, because the cost to acquire him has gone down too. The other guy I like in the mid round, Zach Moss. And Moss, coming off an injury for training camp, he was banged up, but was back at practice this week. And the reason I like Zach Moss is because the Buffalo Bills, during their playoff game, showed us they think that Zach Moss can be a three down back. He had 4 targets early on in that game before he got hurt, broke his leg, was done for the rest of the year. But they showed us that they think he can be a guy who gets targets in this offense. And if he does that in a Josh Allen led offense, a hyper efficient offense, I don't care how often they run. It doesn't matter to me. I think that the efficiency you get and the touchdown potential you get there is really good. So I found myself drafting Trey Sermon, Javonte Williams, and Zach Moss often. I think that if they're your number 2 running back, that's not going to bother me all that much because I think all those guys have exactly what we talked about before, a really nice ceiling.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned this weekend you have the big event going on in Denver with FanDuel and all kinds of fun events and things happening. And so maybe you'll have to go back and watch some of the games in condensed fashion like I do on Sunday morning before my show. What, Jim, should we be looking for Friday and Saturday specifically? I know Joe Pisapia is going to join us. I'm going to ask him the same thing. But everybody has a different opinion. Like, have you sort of hit the DVR on a game this weekend that you're like, you know what, I got to watch this
I think you need to watch first team reps, and that's just a broad thing. That's not a specific game. You need to watch first team reps, like talking about, you know, a team in your area, the Miami Dolphins. Last week on Saturday, I have Miles Gaskin in Dynasty, and I saw Malcolm Brown up there, and the sweat started to accumulate pretty fast, Craig. It was not great. And if we see a situation similar to that, where guys are losing first team reps to others, specifically goal line reps and third down reps, so they could get targets, that's a big concern. So you want to look at the way teams are using players. The best example was back in 2018, I think it was, Christian McCaffrey played 18 out of 18 first team reps with the Panthers. At that time, he was a second round pick, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe this Christian McCaffrey guy is going to have a good role, and all of a sudden he's Christian McCaffrey. Right. So you want to keep a close tab on those reps. See who is out there with the first team. See who's getting goal line reps. See who's getting targets on third down and stuff like that. If a player is not getting that, it's time to reevaluate, because that does matter. I don't care how effective they are. It can matter to an extent for sure, because it can influence coaching decisions. But to me, it's all about usage. It's all about who gets those first team reps, who gets the impactful reps. Because if they're not getting those at this point in the year and they are playing that game, that is a massive, massive red flag.
All right. So Jim made it very clear. He does not want to see Malcolm Brown with the first team.
Never.
This weekend with the Miami Dolphins. Jim, thanks again once again for coming on the show. Have fun this weekend. Sounds like a really good time for those people in the Denver area. Check out Jim and the entire crew over at FanDuel this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Championship weekend on the baseball end, too. So I'll have my eye on that. Thanks again, Jim. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Maybe get a firsthand look at whether Javonte Williams can make some inroads there versus Melvin Gordon while in Denver. Talk to some people and see what their vibe is and what that allocation at running back will look like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. I mean, Williams, really good running back in college. Broncos like to run. Did we overreact to the first week of preseason? That's what I want to see, too, this weekend. All right, follow Jim on Twitter, of course, at Jim Sanis. All of his simulations. By the way, Jim also does NASCAR. I mean, this guy just knows every sport in the book. Does a great job. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Jim Sanis. Go to numberfire.com and check him out there, too, as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll see what Joe Pizzapia has to say about the upcoming weekend in the preseason. He's got some thoughts as well. Stay on the grid. More fantasy sports today here on this Friday football weekend. Coming up after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, which means we are getting closer to the NFL season, which is less than a month away now. We're also 2 days away from Fantasy Sports Today, back on Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. Joe Pizzapia, Matt Stryker, and myself. It is a round table of the three of us just yucking it up, talking fantasy football for 2 hours. I hope you can join us over on Sports Grid, Fantasy Sports Today, to preview that show and give us a little taste of what we could expect in the preseason tonight. We are joined by Joe Pizzapia. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at JoePizzapia17, over at Fantasy Pros for all of his rankings, as well as, of course, the Fantasy Black Book. Joe, it is great to catch up with you again here on this Friday. Thanks for coming on.
Great to see you. We got off to a great start last weekend. We got a lot more draft coverage for you. We got games to go over this weekend. It's going to be very hot. Let me tell you, a lot of stuff. If you're playing fantasy this year, there's nowhere else you're going to get 2 hours of fantasy football every morning. 2 whole hours. I mean, you're just crazy. That's what I call appointment television, Craig.
Yeah, we have 2 games tonight here on Friday, a ton of games on Saturday, and we even have 2 games on Sunday to preview as well. So when you tune into the show Sunday, we only had that silly Colts Carolina game last week. Got 2 pretty good games on Sunday, 1 primetime game as well. So we'll preview those on Sunday. Let's get to tonight, Joe. And I'm looking for your fantasy takeaways, what we are watching for, assuming that we're going to see some of the major players play in these games tonight. I'll start with the Chiefs and the Cardinals. And Kansas City is about a 2.5-point favorite. Andy Reid came out earlier in the week, Joe. He said, all starters play in the first half. Okay, great. So finally, a coach says something that we know. But we already know who the Chiefs are. So that's right. Not really what we need to see. I suppose I'm more interested to see Arizona. Earlier this week, Joe, I talked about on this show, Rondell Moore. I was so impressed with his first performance. I think the Cardinals, to me, are the more of the, like, let me watch a little closely here tonight.
Well, Rondell Moore is that guy you want to watch a little closer. Christian Kirk is still there. AJ Green, they brought in. I'm not sure why, but they did. DeAndre Hopkins, you know he's going to be great, and you know Kyler Murray's going to be great. It's what's the other option? Because this is a team that does not utilize the tight end at all, right? So that's not going to be an option. So it's going to be one of these other wide receivers. There was a run last year Christian Kirk had where he was very productive. But when Kyler Murray got hurt and that shoulder was a little balky, he was not able to get the ball downfield, and Christian Kirk was able to be that downfield wide receiver. So all of a sudden, where he had, like, I think it was 4 weeks in a row with a touchdown, that just disintegrated. You never saw that again. He completely ghosted you, just like that girl that finds you on Match and then never talks to you again, right? So now you're in a situation, not you personally, more probably me. So here's the situation, right? You've got Rondell Moore that you're looking at. You've got the running backs, too, you want to get a better look at and how they're being used. Now, the one thing and the caveat I would put to the running backs is this, that even if you see James Conner get a bunch of maybe goal line attempts or something like that, don't put too much stock into that. It's preseason. If indeed Kyler Murray feels like he's got to run that football in, Kyler Murray is going to run that football in. You cannot take those instincts out of a player. I am so sick and tired of hearing year over year when they talk about these guys who rush, he's not going to run as much. Yeah, sure. I remember when Cam Newton got hurt and they came back the next year and they said he's not going to run as much, and then he ran for 800 yards. So enough of that nonsense. You can't take the instincts out of the great player. Kyler Murray is going to run. That's just part of his game. So they're still going to have at least, I would say, 6 rushing touchdowns for him. More as a player to keep an eye on, because there does have to be a secondary option. Now, a lot of people, when we're talking about Elijah Moore, right? And Rondell Moore was kind of the secondary guy in the draft that people were talking about. And now, all of a sudden, after really good camp, there's a buzz around him. And then the flip side of this game, there are a couple things here with the Chiefs to keep in mind. One thing to keep in mind, too, is that other wide receiver there. A lot of people are high on Mecole Hardman. This is kind of the fork in the road for him. A lot of people are taking late dart throws at him, trying to say, okay, if this is the year he breaks out, this is his last shot potentially. However, Byron Pringle is the guy that caught the touchdown last week, right? And Byron Pringle, and you've gotten Robinson over the years, you've gotten all these other guys, Sammy Watkins. We keep waiting for Mecole Hardman. It has not happened yet. So I just want to tell everybody, just be ready, because if you don't see it here, you got to knock him down a few more pegs. There's better dart throws late at wide receiver, guys like Sterling Shepard, who are going to get a lot more value and a lot more volume over with the Giants. You could look at guys like Gabriel Davis, who I think is really up on the come there for the Buffalo Bills. Same kind of ADP as Mecole Hardman, and potentially guys who are going to be much better fantasy-wise. So please, it might be time to break up with him. Just get over it. And also, you want to see CEH look good, because that's a guy who, year over year, you talk about a guy whose value went way through the roof. If you remember last year, we were doing shows together on Fantasy Sports Today every day. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire hype train got out of control. He became a top 6 overall pick. It was nuts. Now it's settled back into high-end RB2 category in PPR. That's where he should be going. And hopefully, a couple more touchdowns here and there, all of a sudden Clyde Edwards-Helaire can become an RB1. So that's another thing in this game to look forward to.
Yeah, and I think that tonight's game is actually pretty compelling, because you could have some points scored. We haven't seen a lot of points scored, Joe, honestly, in this preseason. It's been kind of brutal. So that being said, I don't know what to make of this Cincinnati-Washington game tonight. I guess I got to watch it. But Joe Burrow, you know, Cincinnati's been very careful with him. They've been very careful with Joe Mixon. They've been very careful with everyone. It's like after what they went through last year. And you know, Fitzpatrick is back tonight for Washington. I sort of know what I'm getting into here. I may be actually more interested in seeing Tyler Heinicke, because, I mean, I sort of know what Fitzpatrick brings to the table. But how they featured this game on Thursday night in the preseason, I'll never know. But I suppose I'll devote 5 minutes to it.
Look, I think you want to see Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think a little bit more Taylor Heinicke is going to be something that's the more exposure, the less you want to see it, if you know what I'm saying. And of all the teams, you know, this is the last team, if you're a Bengals fan, that you want to be throwing Joe Burrow out there to, right? You got Chase Young, you got Montez Sweat, you got one of the best defensive lines in football with a guy who just had major reconstructive knee surgery. It wasn't just the ACL, it was the PCL, the MCL, any other CL you could possibly imagine, all of them. So this is not the confidence builder game that you want. This is not the person on your schedule at this juncture of the season that you want. So look, I think they should have kid gloves with all those guys, and they should be careful because this is a long-term game here when it comes to Joe Burrow. This is the investment. You're probably not competing this year. You look at that division. That division's really good. Cleveland's one of the deepest rosters in the NFL. They were very good last year. Pittsburgh, I expect to be better. They're a very good defense. Now you bring in Najee Harris on the offensive side, finally balance things out. And, of course, the Baltimore Ravens, who are always going to be competitive. So you're just trying to get everybody to week one healthy. So you're not going to see a lot. It's not going to be exciting. And the good news is it might continue to suppress some values of some very good players like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who I think especially T. Higgins will be that guy early on that when Joe Burrow is back and playing, he's going to rely on him because once he took over in week three, he was one of the most consistent fantasy wide receivers out there. He had a very good weekly floor. He had touchdown upside. He was getting somewhere around 7-8 targets at least a week. And that was something you could count on. I like those kind of players. You can count on them. So when you're looking at this game, keep an eye on T. Higgins, no matter who's playing quarterback. Hopefully he gets out of this healthy. And Joe Mixon's the other guy too. You know, a lot of people got burned, including me, on Joe Mixon last year. Joe Mixon, the talent is great. Joe Mixon, the running back in terms of health, is a dicey situation. As an RB2, I like him very much. As an RB1, like if you take a Davante Adams or a Stephon Diggs first or a Tyreek Hill, I don't feel great about him. I would rather pivot to a Najee Harris or maybe even look at some of those other guys around there instead, Jonathan Taylor too, because I just don't have the confidence in Joe Mixon, the offensive line, the mental and physical attributes right now of the quarterback until he shows it to us. So there's a lot to unpack there with the Bengals. And I don't know, from the Washington side, just watch Antonio Gibson because they're talking about giving him a CMC workload. And if he gets a CMC workload, this guy is going to skyrocket and win people leagues. I don't know if they're going to do that, but this is a guy who was a converted wide receiver. So if they start throwing him the football more, all of a sudden this could be a guy that you draft as RB14 and might finish in the top 7 or 8 potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say last year, like, that was a big whiff for me on Antonio Gibson. And he was, I mean, I don't know, 5th, 6th round pick, I want to say, in fantasy.
Oh, later sometimes.
What? Am I right about that? Or
oh, he was way later. Yeah, way later.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, way wrong on that guy. But I was like, oh, he's just never done anything like this before in college. But I'm reading the same things as you. But, Joe, they still have McKissick there, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was so good. That's what makes me have pause with him, but it's impossible to deny something, I guess, when every reporter is saying it, essentially.
Yeah, I think with McKissick, too, the reason he was so good is because the quarterback play was so bad. So they had to dump off more than just to the main running back. They had to get somebody else out there in action. And McKissick, look, he excels in that role, right, as that pass-catching kind of running back. So there might be enough for all of those guys. I think the Washington football team did a very good job of remaking the offense year over year, drafting De'Ami Brown, bringing Curtis Samuel. You have Terry McLaurin, one of the most underrated wide receivers in football, probably, who has not played one single down with a very good quarterback yet in his career. And maybe you could say he still hasn't this year with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick is better than what they were throwing out there last year.
Yeah.
So you got to hope that at least you're looking around saying, okay, offensively now we shouldn't be nearly as abominable as last year. And that defense is for real. And I'll tell you, that is kind of a sneaky play right now, whether you want to put some money down on it for that team to win this division again. Defense wins. And let's not forget, man, that defense gave Tom Brady fits in the playoffs. That defense was really putting it to him. And had the offense done anything, we might not be talking so much about Tom Brady's 7th championship.
Yeah, they really don't have a lot of competition, I think, within the division. I mean, Dallas, I guess, is the one formidable team. If anything should happen to Dak Prescott, I am with you there, no doubt. All right, Joe, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. We'll catch up with you on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Pizzapia, Matt Stryker, and myself. Thanks again, Joe. Enjoy your weekend.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Joe Pizzapia, 17 on Twitter. Of course, all of his rankings and all of his work podcasts over at fantasypros.com. And make sure you pick up your copy of the Fantasy Black Book. RPV time, folks. It's available over on Amazon. We'll take a quick time out. Plenty more to come right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So where are you going? It's Friday. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Davis, I think that over on FanDuel, they're going to be very curious to hear what we're going to talk about next year. But before we do that, I want to make sure that those people who are watching us understand that yesterday, a couple days ago, I said here that I was shocked that Joey Votto was still 35-1 to win the MVP. Where did that clip appear? It appeared on our social media channels over on Twitter. And if you follow us on our social media channels on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV, you can see me making outlandish comments, things that sometimes come true, sometimes they don't. Davis's takes on the fantasy football season, they can all be found there. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. And with the NFL season coming and college football season coming, it is a must follow to give you our predictions and help you get a little bit of an edge here on Sports Grid. But Davis, I mentioned that I was shocked. I retweeted it. I got some pushback on that saying, come on, Joey Votto's not the MVP. You know, people around the game, you know, really, oh, come on, it's got to be somebody else. Meanwhile, FanDuel must have been listening, Davis, because Joey Votto's gone from 35-1 to 30-1. And now this morning I wake up and he is 25-1 to win the NL MVP. So this could be the last shot, Davis, before this Marlins series is over this weekend to get in on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he beats up on your Miami Marlins, hits two home runs, you know, hits 500 over the course of this series, just keeps banishing your poor Miami Marlins. It's a very tough scene down there in Miami for them. They need to dust themselves off and get ready for next year. But you're right. I mean, no one has really grab the NL MVP race by the scruff. I continue to think 25-1 still a good number on Joey Votto. I think you were right.
Yeah, he hit a home run last night. All right, let's close out our week with a little fantasy or reality as we bring in our producer, Brett Levy.
All right, guys. Well, we are starting in the NBA today because a few scouts were surveyed over the week, and it came back that LeBron James had zero votes as the best player in the NBA. LeBron James scoffed at that. He said, thank you for the motivation. He said, hashtag washed. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, this is where you start to get into the semantics of what do you mean by best player in the NBA? Best guy over 82 games. You know, LeBron James, I believe he is now 36 years old. So maybe over 82 games, he's not. You know, maybe you would say Giannis. Maybe you would say Kevin Durant is probably the best over 82 yeah. healthy games. But I feel like probably the answer here is that, If you had one game to win, game seven of the NBA Finals, it's your team. You know, let's say all else is equal, right? You know, the other four starting players, all else is equal, and you can choose LeBron, you can choose KD, you can choose whoever. For me, I would still take LeBron James. LeBron James is the best passer of the basketball in the NBA. No one generates free throws better than him. He has turned himself into a good, not great three-point shooter. You know, he's not Steph Curry out there, but a fully healthy, motivated, ready to go LeBron James, even at 36 years old, I think still the best player in the NBA for me. You know, I take him over Curry. And I love Kevin Durant, right? And on the record saying that I love Kevin Durant, but I still think the hashtag Wash King LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
It's really an interesting question, and it made me think a little bit deeper, Davis, because I think people's opinions on this, and by the way, my answer is fantasy. I do not think he's the best player in the NBA anymore. But I would say this, Davis, this is the first season since 2004 where you're even questioning it. Isn't that amazing? This is the first time that we go into a season since 2004 where you're not sure if he is. And I'm going to say fantasy. And this is it. I mean, look, the body is definitely breaking down a little bit. I mean, that's obvious. In terms of when he's on the court, you're right. In a one-game scenario, I would probably still choose him. But Giannis winning that championship, and I think that there are others that have now moved ahead of him. And there's no indictment on him, by the way. He's been unbelievable. He lasted longer as the NBA's best player than Michael Jordan did. I mean, this is true. I mean, we're talking about almost 19 years. So no longer. I think this is it. But he could absolutely play until he's 40 years old. And I would expect him, as I've mentioned many times here on the show before, to be the first father and son player ever to play on the court with his son. I believe that that is going to be a reality. And then he'll retire. So I'm going to say fantasy for me, Brett.
All right. Well, our next question is about relocation because the Arizona Coyotes, once upon a time Phoenix Coyotes, have been kicked out of their arena. The lease will end after this season. So we got to ask, and Craig, we can start with you for this one. The Arizona Coyotes will end up in Quebec City. Quebec City used to have the Nordiques. They, right. I think, became the Avalanche. So they need a new team. It's Eastern Canada, though. So will this Western team go to the Eastern Conference, or what will they do? The Arizona Coyotes will end up in Quebec City. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to this, so it would be guessing. So I'll try to guess that. I'll guess this is a fantasy. But I do think that it would be best to continue to give Canada as many teams as possible because they still fully support hockey no matter what. The one thing that I would add, Davis, is that I think what sports needs to realize, and look, Arizona would have clearly gone to Vegas, right, if Vegas didn't have a team that they started a few years ago. But what they need to realize is that these transient cities, and I live in one of them here in South Florida, Arizona in particular, stop expanding in those states because the teams never get fully supported. It doesn't happen. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, when they're good, people go. When they don't, they never go. Same thing with the Diamondbacks. Same thing throughout the state here of Florida. There's a lot of other things to do. The weather's always good. And they try and force it in these great weather places, thinking it's going to work. It never does. I'm going to say fantasy. I do think they end up in Canada, but I don't think it is back in Quebec. So I'll say fantasy there.
Well, I don't have any real specific insight like you. I don't have any inside reporting on this or anything like that. What I can say is I hope they go back and I hope they rebrand and they just go back to be the Quebec Nordiques because I grew up being a Colorado Avalanche fan, right? Which means that that was the team that was the Quebec Nordiques. They moved from Quebec. They moved to Colorado. Joe Sakic's first career year in the NHL, he actually was on the Quebec Nordiques, as I believe so was Patrick Roy. I might be wrong about that. But if you've never seen these jerseys and you never have seen these logos before, do yourself a favor, everyone who is watching Fantasy Sports today. Pick up your cell phone and search for the Quebec Nordiques and go look at like all their old vintage hats, all their old vintage sweatshirts and stuff, you are not going to find anything that looks better from that time period. The colors were great. The logo was great. All the imagery was great. It's so good. I mean, the fleur-de-lis is so classic anyways. But yeah, I am in favor of them going back to Quebec and becoming the Nordiques. I might even switch allegiance just based on how good the gear was, because it really is. It's so phenomenal. So I'll say I don't know where they go, Brett, but I hope that they do go back to Quebec and that they rebrand.
Well, Davis, one of the other names floated out there is Kansas City. So it might be Quebec versus Kansas City.
No, I take that. I'd rather that.
Okay, right. Fair enough. But our last one is about The Legend of Zelda, because a sealed copy of the game sold for $411,000 over the week. So we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You have played The Legend of Zelda, any version. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I have played The Legend of Zelda. I didn't play it in its true, most natural, pure form, because the best version of the Zelda games were done on the N64 and the other Nintendo-based platforms. I never had one of those. I came of age right about the time where kids just got PlayStations instead of Nintendos. I have a very specific memory of getting my first PlayStation. I got it for Christmas when I would have been 7 or 8 years old. I'd need to fact check the time on that. But I remember the living room of my house. I remember plugging it in. I remember playing the NHL game that my dad got me for the very first time on there. But of course, Zelda was limited to Nintendo products. So you could never mm-hmm. play it on the Xbox. Maybe you can play it on the Xbox now. I don't know. Maybe you can play it on the PlayStation now. But I know that wasn't the way it worked then. Where I did play a Legend of Zelda game was I played it on my Game Boy when I was a kid. And, the Game Boy games, my memories of them is that all the games sucked on it and that it wasn't very much fun to play unless it was Pokemon. Pokemon was the perfect game for the Game Boy, fit the screen perfectly. It didn't matter that the graphics were bad, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I have played it. It was a little bit before my time. Don't remember it being that great, but reality, I have played Legend of Zelda, Craig.
Yeah, I this is a reality for me. I did play the original Legend of Zelda. I think it was the Super Nintendo, which is when it made its debut. I don't know if it was the original Nintendo? It was one of the early versions. I definitely played it, but I never liked it. And I do like those kind of adventure games, but for whatever reason, I never really gravitated toward this. And the story, Davis, by the way, even gets better. And like, isn't this the wonderful story that we all need? You can still walk into a Goodwill, find something, and sell it for $400,000, right? Like, when do I get to do that?
I mean, you know that that's like a whole thing amongst people of my generation. Like, people do that as like their side hustle. They go into these Goodwill stores. You know, they'll go on the weekend or whatever. Like, oh, it's their Saturday, they're off of work, and they go into Goodwill. They go into other, non chain thrift stores, local thrift stores, and they try to find things like this. They try to find sealed video games, old VHS tapes, really expensive clothes that people gave away, not knowing any better. Like all sorts of things like that. That's like a whole little cottage industry now. I really like going to thrift stores. I never do it with the idea of making a profit on it. But I found like some good old clothes. Actually, I found a Quebec Nordiques sweatshirt in a thrift shop once. I wear it all the time. It's one of my main winter go-tos.
There you go. I would say to people that who don't know the prices on things, there's this little site called eBay where you can basically type anything in and find out exactly what it's worth before you sell it. It'll take you about 10 seconds. That's why I'm so hesitant to sell any of my kids' toys, because I'm like, wow, I wonder if this becomes a collector's edition. And I find myself honestly on eBay being like, all right, let me type in Paw Patrol truck. Okay, it's nothing. All right, throw it away. This is what I do. All right, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, Fantasy Sports Today, getting you ready for the Sunday action in the preseason. It is week 2. We'll recap Saturday night and preview Sunday. It is myself, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today and wrap it up on this Friday right after this. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is Friday, but before we go, it's time to give you our final edition this week of the Sports Grid 60.
So for my Sports Grid 60, this is actually probably a niche thing. But Craig, I have my fantasy football draft in my home league with all my buddies, high school, college. We've known each other for 10, 15, 20 years, and in some cases. And I got to come clean to the people. I have never won this league. I have never won my 12-team PPR league with all my friends from high school and from college. And let me tell you, they find that to be absolutely hilarious. I mean, they think it is so funny that my job is to come here on Sports Grid TV and do the projections and do the rankings and Daily Roto and everything, and I still have never won this league. So everyone out there, just send some good wishes so that my draft goes well so I can finally win this stupid league.
Good luck. I've been there before. I know what you mean. I'm in a dynasty league that I never win to. Okay, so Jeopardy Mike Richards announced that he is not going to be the host on Jeopardy this season. And obviously, there's been a lot of different reasons for that. Hope Jeopardy does the right thing and finds the right host for this. It did seem like a strange hire to begin with. And then some of Richards' past, I guess, comments have caused him to get canceled like a lot of other people have and lose his gig. But others are not satisfied enough with this. They do not want him even being the executive producer of this. And I feel bad. I feel bad about that. You know why? Because this guy's already had his future destroyed and his name destroyed of not being the TV host. We don't even let him go back to being the executive producer of Jeopardy. Man, seems like a tough road for this guy, for sure. That'll do it for the week of shows. Thanks again to LTN, Danny, and Ryan, of course. Thank you to our producer, Brett Levy. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I am Craig Mish. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you again Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And if not, see you here Monday at noon. Have a great weekend, everybody.